This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAFGiving360. You can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and your assets can potentially grow tax-free as you recommend when and where to give. It's a tax-smart way to maximize your charitable giving from a fund with over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together. Make a greater impact with DAFGiving360. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Well, hey, boys.
Oh, Petty Ford over there, Jonathan Alexander.
All the lightest.
I die when I read that. I could see the sarcasm in his typing when he sent that out. But let me catch you up right now as we are live here. No reason to go anywhere else. As the Astros, they're not going to get shut out today, Tyler. So they have scored.
Miracle in August, you say?
They have scored. Shout out to, you guessed it, folks, Mauricio Dubon. He hit a two-run homer because, of course, that's what you had on your bingo card on who would break up the scoring streak. Their first run since Saturday, is that right?
Since the war, I think.
Yeah, there you go. But they are still down 7-2 in the seventh inning.
Detroit's playing with them.
It was one of those situations. Clint, let me tell you, Framber just didn't give you a shot today.
Yeah, I could just hear John Lopez's play-by-play, and I could tell it was bad.
Yeah, he just didn't give you a shot. Yeah, it was 5-0. Was it 5-0 before he recorded an out?
I believe.
It was 3 walks, 2 pass balls, a double and a single.
And 2 checks for his outfielders to see where they were standing.
Hell yeah. And listen, it wasn't just wild pitches. It was wild pitches with runners on third. Like, it wasn't just a wild pitch with somebody on first. Nah, he went ahead and added to the runs. And it was 5-0. He gave up 7 runs in his time out there. Not at all what you wanted to see happen at all, but we will keep you abreast and updated on this. 7-2 right now, seventh inning, and the Astros are going to have to do some serious work to avoid not getting swept by the Detroit Tigers. But luckily for them, the Mariners are... Hell, they're struggling too. They're doing the same thing as they're in Philadelphia. Last time I saw, they were trailing, and it is now a 1-run game. They're 3-2 in the seventh inning as the Mariners, Julio Rodriguez, got them a little closer with a homer. They are they can edge closer if they can pull that one out. But
the Mariners are doing their part, Ron. You were gone, we did a little next 20. I think the Astros had roughly 41, 42 games left, and over the next 20 games, they were going to see 14 opponents that they would be favored over, one being the Baltimore Orioles, which they just gave 2 of 3 away in that first 3 games of the 20-game stretch we were talking about. And the Mariners are doing their part. They are losing ball games, and the Astros just aren't holding up their end of the deal. If you can just play halfway decent, you're picking up half games, full games here and there on the Mariners the way they're playing. The Astros just don't seem to want to make it happen, though.
Yeah. Text line coming in. Framber is sandbagging the rest of the season. He's pouty about not getting a deal from Crane. He's checked out. The Astros will not make October. Okay. Yeah. That would be a stupid checkout
It'd be a bad
everybody else could pay you.
I mean, I can understand where some of the other guys would check out. Maybe not him.
Maybe, I can think of one coming to mind.
Love that money.
Tyler, I saw you. You didn't get yourself good and frustrated about Framber, didn't you? Tyler, did you see the Tyler tweet?
My friend, I've gotten myself good and frustrated about the Houston Astros.
It's not just today, just Framber. Tyler tweeted out, Framber Valdez right now, today on the bump in Detroit, this moment, this is why, as good as he's been for the Astros at times over the last few years, you can never, all caps, Clint, pay him and have him attain that label as true ace in the clubhouse. Arguably, a day ball game you need Framber most in 2025. I think that's possibly fair to say. And here we are, Framber worrying about where his outfielders are positioned while walking dudes and throwing wild pitches in the first. 5-0 Tigers, no outs.
I didn't see the game. Is that just a reference to what he said last week or a couple starts ago, or was he literally worried about where the outfielders were?
There's no way for me to know that definitively. Okay.
I didn't know if he was out there directing traffic or something.
No, but to me, I mean, there were a few moments whenever things were starting to come undone very quickly today in the first inning where he was, I don't know, man. It just seems like too many times Framber Valdez is big question mark up top in that noggin.
It is, because I will tell you, I think it's unfair, Tyler. And I think there are a lot of people, as I saw people respond to it, roll with it.
I haven't looked yet.
I think, like someone said, I 100% agree with Tyler. Judging by what I'm seeing from the text line, I think people are frustrated by Framber. But it is interesting how differently he is viewed from others. It's very, because I'll tell you what, since I have been here the entire time, I think Yordan may be the only player for the Astros that has been as good as his job or better consistently than Framber has the entire time being here. I think so. Some may say Altuve. I think Altuve's not as been up in it. This guy's been a Cy Young candidate damn near every year he's been here, right? He's come up huge in big moments. But when he has an off game or an off day, it seems to really blow up for people. I mean, like, Verlander had terrible moments in the postseason. But I don't think people go there with Verlander.
Verr's gonna be Verr.
And I think even Framber has had some meltdowns and moments even in the playoffs. I think Framber over the last 5 years has been a better big game pitcher than Verlander. I think the numbers would show that out. But for some reason, boy, the feel on Framber is completely different than to other people. And other guys, even though, as Tyler said, as good as he's been, like, Tyler can't even call him an ace. and I think if you can't call him an ace, you can't call Verlander an ace. You can't call some of these other guys an ace. And it is just really interesting how he is perceived. It's almost Kyle Tucker feel, too. I think Tyler said it when we were talking about Kyle Tucker, like, he is, what'd you say, appreciated but not beloved or something like that.
Yeah, very in there.
And Framber seems to fit that role, even though he has been, I don't think it's even an argument, the best pitcher that this team has had in the last 5-6 years.
Yeah, it's interesting. He is a frustrating one to root for. I could see where just kind of the demeanor. You know, like you said, it looked like he threw the towel in after the second or third wild pitch. You know, those are things that to me, that's a big part of when you start talking about the ace word and the ace label. And, you know, you typically don't see guys have bad moments and get beat around the park, but you don't typically see 3 walks and 2 wild pitches and, you know, stuff like I don't think, but. So it's a frustrating root when you're rooting for Framber sometimes, but you want him on your squad. That's for damn sure.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's like Framber had a he had the stretch this year. They won 13 consecutive games that he pitched in, and he was 11-0 in those starts.
Mm-hmm.
And like this right here today is, maybe I'm wrong on this. Maybe Cheryl could check on it. This by far is his worst start of the season, right?
Oh, I don't know. Like, it can't get much worse.
I don't know how it couldn't
far,
be.
By far his worst start of the season. And most of the other part, the other 20 starts he's had, I mean, he's been one of the best pitchers in baseball. But this one right here, this start, this will stay in people's minds a lot more than the positives. And it doesn't seem like that happened with Verlander
The interesting part, again, I think this is a fascinating conversation for multiple reasons. Because I'll be honest with you, like, with the point you're making, like, if we had a gotta have it game right now, I'd be A-okay if he was on the bump. I'd be 100% behind him.
Oof, I wouldn't.
Any high leverage game.
You would have said that before today, Tyler?
Yes.
Is today's pushing?
I mean, today's exclamation point for sure, and sways it hard that direction. But no, man, I do not believe this guy is capable of bringing his brain to the ballpark every start. So I can't pay him that money.
Well, whether you want to pay him the money or not, that's one. I'm just talking about as an Astros fan.
I know you are.
I am confident that we as a team can beat anybody on any given game day if Fromber's on the ball. I'm confident. Now, I mean, days like today are extremely frustrating because there appears to be just like a flippant. You know, when things go bad, there's either the middle midget or so. I mean, there's a different demeanor or different. What am I looking for? There's a different vibe with him, good, bad, or indifferent.
To elaborate further on what you asked me and what I answered Ron just then about Framber, you said before today, before this disaster in the first inning for Framber today, would I have felt that way? And the answer really is yes. Maybe not to that degree, but I can't remember if this happened while you were gone chasing hurricanes or whatever.
Certainly wasn't chasing.
Storm chasing, but I want to say it was his last start, if not the one before that, for Framber. There was another kind of outfield miscommunication. Framber did not go back up home plate on a throw home that resulted in a additional run crossing the plate because he was not backing up the catcher on a pass throw. And after the game, this is the second time this season we heard Framber get vocal through his interpreter saying some stuff contrary to, happy-go-lucky is me and the squad in the clubhouse right now. You know, stirring up little dissension. So that drama diva whole thing, too, is all lingering right there mixed in my mind with this just bring your brain to the park, bro.
How many times do you feel like he's not brought his brain to the park? Like, I would say that to anybody. Like, you too, Clint. How many times, like, brought his brain to the park? I would say, I don't even know if he didn't bring it. Today, he just didn't have it and then just
and arguably
let it
the
go.
Game you needed him most this season.
Oh, I get you, but I mean, there's been we've been here before with them, and he has absolutely shut the door in a big situation too. Like, this isn't a normal occurrence. Like, it almost feels like
there is his comments after these games is what I'm saying. We're seeing him act a little different right now.
I get the comments. But I'm talking about he's got a resume of what we've watched. It feels like we're almost discussing Lance. the way you're talking, that I feel that way about Lance. Not like I don't know what the hell I'm gonna get from Lance. I don't know.
Yeah, but all my doubts, that's a hard one just for my brain because all with Lance is it's the physical nature
and
of
I'll
it.
Say
it's
it.
His health.
And I'll say it, I'm a part of it, Clint, because I over the years we have made big reference of it, but anytime he has a bad outing, it's upstairs. I think it's a real discussion thing because I think there is something from him. I just remember that time where he walked all around and Carlos had to come up and meet him years ago. But it feels like we have maybe exaggerated that so much that every time he has a bad outing, which is not a lot over the years, it then immediately explodes to he has mental issues out there on the mound.
Well, look, there is, I believe he's the pitcher that was on record earlier in his career of working with mental coaches to keep his cool. Obviously, you mentioned the Carlos Correa thing. We've seen him, you know, shaking his fist and snatching balls out of the air. We've seen the frustration. And so I think it's fair, because even in some of the games where he's struggled early and given up two runs, and then he ends up pitching seven or eight innings and giving up two total runs, there's still that side of Fromber that seems like he's just on the edge and seems to be a little bit out of pocket. And when you're, to me, when you're talking about ace stuff, there's a conversation there to be had. Is he in a spot mentally where he can handle that adversity? The performance will tell you yes a good chunk of the time.
Do you think he's an ace?
I think he's an ace. Okay. Yeah, I think he's got ace talent. I think he's an ace. Yes, I mean.
Intangibles.
When you've got Hunter Brown waiting in the you know, shadows there, do you pay him versus Hunter Brown? You know, when you've got Verlander over the years, maybe not the most recent Verlander, but over the years, is he better than Verlander? Those are the conversations and the guys that he stacked up against. And do you pay him or do you call him an ace? I don't know. I think I don't have a problem with just a conversation about the mental, the seemingly needing to keep his head screwed on tight consistently. I think that's a reality with him.
Yeah, I don't think that it isn't true. It just jumps big time whenever he has a bad outing, and it gets a little more aggressive towards, oh, don't pay him, he's not an ace, I don't trust him. He'll have 15 starts,
yeah,
where he is an ace, and then I have one. Oh, I'm out. It's like the memories of the negative go up big time. All right, Clint, I posed this to you before the show. Let's bring it on the air. Since I've been gone, oh, I'm sorry, Tyler. That was.
I can be.
I'm gonna sit in the corner for doing that. I should be judged for that. But since I've been gone, there's a player that has completely shifted where I thought he was going to be when training camp started. We got to discuss what that means for this team's offense. We'll do that coming up next, right here live. On the Drive.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, 7-2 right now. The Astros are trailing, but good news with that. The Mariners are helping them out. They had gotten that lead to a 3, or that deficit to a 3-2 game in Philadelphia, and now the Phillies, they have opened it up, and they are now leading 7-2. In the eighth inning. So we're in the bottom of the seventh. Check that, 8-2 in the bottom of the seventh. So the Mariners, they look like they are headed to being swept by the Phillies, and no harm, because the Astros looks like they are headed to being swept by the Detroit Tigers. So that is the latest there. So if things hold, which it looks like it will, it looks like they're right where they started when they woke up today. All right, Clint, I've been out a little bit, obviously. I want to give some game notes, because I got up a little bit later on, and I started in the airport, actually, last night. One of those points as I was traveling all day long.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team. Rep your city. Rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters, and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today. And live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus. To kickstart your rewards, visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
Looking for jewelry that feels as good as it looks? Jenny Bird delivers modern designs that are comfortable, easy to wear, and effortlessly versatile. Every piece makes you feel instantly on trend without trying too hard. Need to send a gift they'll be sure to love? Jenny Bird ships fast, and the packaging is thoughtful too. Jenny Bird isn't just jewelry. It's your new favorite style essential. Explore more at jenny-bird.com and get 20% off your first purchase using code ONTREND20.
Traveling all day long, I was watching the Texans Panthers, and I got some thoughts on and off the field that I want to run through. But one of the things that I'm reading and I'm seeing, and I saw this from DJ Bienemy saying, top two spots with the receivers pretty clear: Nico Collins and Christian Kirk. The third one, he said, Xavier Hutchinson. He's not going anywhere. He's going to play, and he's going to play a lot, is what DJ Bienemy said, paraphrasing there. But he tweeted out that, and Clint, it does. I thought Xavier Hutchinson was going to have a fight to make the team when, obviously, we know the issues with John Metchie. Obviously, they took care of that since I've been going, and he's in Philly. And then they bring in Justin Watson on a deal, and they draft two guys as well. You wondered, is he going to make the team? Not only is he going to make the team, Clint, is that off what DJ said? And what I'm saying here is, if the Texans ran a three-receiver set, we know Christian Kirk's probably in the slot. We know Nico is on the outside. Would Xavier Hutchinson be the third guy right now?
I think they'd be very comfortable with Xavier Hutchinson being the third guy. I think he's as safe as going to get. I agree with you. When camp started, I think there was he's at a crossroads, man. You got to either come on and make a move up the depth chart, or they're obviously drafting and bringing guys in here to take your place. And I think when you look at the way that Hutch has responded, and maybe they knew this before. Maybe the offseason, the weight room, the throwing with CJ, all that kind of stuff. Maybe they knew it. He was going to be fine before, but I know for us, in terms of watching practice, he was outside. Careful. I think, what's that? Oh yeah, no. That's okay. This is before the mandate came down. He was outside those top four guys. You said Nico, Christian Kirk, and the two rookies. Those four guys were locks. Everybody else was kind of bunched up there. There's no doubt about it. Xavier Hutchinson has absolutely separated himself. And should be right where they have him, which is, I would say he's probably a notch above Higgins right now, just because Higgins is young and he's inexperienced. And I think Hutch probably is, CJ's probably a little bit more comfortable with the experience he has with Hutch right now than some of the young guys. So, yeah, he's right in the mix, man. I would say that the top of this wide receiver room now consists of Hutchinson as well, Ron. I think there's five guys up there right now.
Now, can we get a little serious here?
Sure.
I know some people don't like to have uncomfortable conversations at times, but I do. So if there's a real good chance, as you said, he's a notch over Higgins, that he is the third receiver, at least at this point. Last year, they had Nico, Stephon Diggs, and Tank Dell was the third receiver. Is this concerning at all that Xavier Hutchinson is the third receiver right now and that you don't have anybody that was better to take that role? Or is this just a, hey, Xavier Higgins has been, you know, misevaluated, and he's better than the sixth round picky that he is, and he's better than this, and this is not because nobody better could take it, but that he is just that good? Because usually that's not how you usually don't walk into the year for a contender that a guy that was on the bubble to make the roster is now essentially, I heard John Lopez said earlier, starter. Is that concerning?
If I hadn't watched practice, maybe. I think he's earned every bit of it.
I think he's earned it.
I think he's earned it. I think he's made plays. I think he's gone up against the best the Texans have to offer. I think he's made plays. Joint practices. I think he's made plays. Clearly in the playoffs last year, some of the biggest moments, he somehow found his way into those big moments for the Texans last season and in the playoffs last year. So no, I think he has elevated his play. And I think the reality of it is we sit around here and think that these wide receivers or anybody is going to Kamari Lassiter and Kalen Bullock this thing year in, year out. I think that's crazy to think that. I think it's probably more normal for a Higgins to maybe not be quite ready to be a starter and maybe needs to share that role with Hutch more so than just have it himself. And I think there's just more reality, and I think one guy's earned it in Hutchinson, and I'm not concerned at all. And by the way, there's clearly a different approach to offense this year than last year as well.
That makes sense, too. Text line coming in. You missed a whole week run. Hutch has been balling out. As I said, I'm not saying he didn't earn it. I'm just saying last year, Stephon Diggs or Tank Dell was your third receiver.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you know, there are not a lot of contenders whose third receiver that passes the football is a sixth round guy that has traditionally been a special teamer more likely than not his first couple of years. Again, this could be a deal of where he has really blossomed and turned into something. I'm just simply posing the thought. That's not usually how you have drawn it up, but he's earned it. We'll see if Higgins is able to get out there and potentially at some point take that spot and maybe take that role, which is what I think the Texans probably envisioned when they drafted him with their top pick overall. We'll see. But right now, Xavier Hutchinson has put it down and made it his spot. All right, Clint. Clint feels like maybe some of his takes this week has really, really come to punish the rest of the media.
Team Macho.
Sorry, guys.
And all of Houston.
Sorry, guys.
You got some explaining to do. We'll discuss that coming up next.
Has the Macho Man ever cried?
Prima Donna!
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in as we are live here. Good to be back in the building. Clint Sterner, Tyler Milner back at it. A little update here. The Astros, they fall, and they indeed get swept by the Tigers. And now, what's that, four in a row? They lose 7-2. They do score two runs off a two-run homer. Todd Callis looks like he's about at the end of his rope.
Well, this is not good.
Blummer doesn't look fired up either, but they
two-run Dubon homer would have been nice in the eighth inning last night when they pinch hit for him because there's a right-hander on the ball.
But they did score. They did score two-run homer from Mauricio Dubon. They will now head to Baltimore, a team that they are far better than, a team that is in last place, and they'll play them for four. So hopefully they can get right.
We'll get all this little funk
over the weekend. Christian Javier will pitch on Saturday. And he'll be back after he had to miss. He got pulled after three innings due to illness. Also, Lance will make a return
Friday.
Lance McCullers after that devastating blister. Thank goodness.
Blister.
We were able to sew that thing together, allegedly. He'll be back Friday. There's Taylor Trammell. Jesus. God.
Oh, bad back Trammell.
Man, he's been hit by a car 2 days in a row. Both of them his own doing. But
Chad,
they
still can't get on the field.
Yeah, there's Melton though. Big catch from Jacob Melton.
Yeah, Melton spent a lot of the day today on the warning track, by the way. Every time I look up, he's on the field. I bet he had five catches on the warning track.
This is one of those moments, and I love you for it, Dirty, because this is legitimately cracking me up. But something gets stuck in your craw and your dome so hard that really is agitating
I'm hurt,
you.
Man.
Yeah, no, I'm with you, but it gets stuck, and you're just like, son of a
mother. I'm hurt. And I know they've already played another game with this day game today, but, I mean, I'm hurt, and I'm yesterday, I know I owe you money because we lost on Chaz not getting a hit. I mean,
you bet on Chaz?
Yeah, yeah.
You were feeling
it,
huh?
I mean, we played that funky music, White Boy, too, while he was out. We was trying. It wasn't because he earned it, because he needed it, Ronnie.
It was hype.
I said Ron would be pissed right now, but damn it, Chaz needs it. I mean, I thought it was a good thing. Like, hey, fine. Like, he's getting some run. I'm sorry, some Bucks gave him three at-bats against the best pitcher in baseball and then pinch hit for him.
You need to get this off your chest.
Oh, man.
It felt like it ripped my head.
It was just,
go ahead.
No. I mean,
get it off your chest.
You must remember this is a podcast about the secret and forgotten histories of 20th century Hollywood. Listen to You Must Remember This on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I mean, I just feel for the dude. I mean, it went from, like, hey, man, you know, you may be pouting a little bit, or, you know, hey, Jake is balling, man. We've got to a point where Jake's just a better option. Nah, man, they done turned this thing into Jake's a better option. They done turned this thing into Melton's a better option. The other Jacob Melton is a better option. Trammell is a better option. I mean, he can't get on the field unless it's in the role of the closer that got hurt.
I kept it real as a
team
on myself.
He literally.
He is. His the most consistent role that Chaz has is ass kicked. You're in.
Ron, he pitched in three of the last eight ballgames.
I know it.
He's pitched. He's been on the mound.
He's got that first career strikeout.
He's been on the mound. And they continue to roll Jacob
Melton. And he's been better than, like, Taylor Scott.
Yeah, yeah.
He's been better than Sean Dubin. Man. Shout out to Sean, who was able to have a scoreless inning today by the grace of Almighty. But, damn.
My heart has been broken for the guy the last two times. Ron, I got home 2 games ago and turned it on, and we already had a conversation about it 2 games ago, and I flip it on, and I look up, and after I put Laney to bed, I look up, and he's on the mound again, second night in a row, and I'm just like, he's got to be an emotional mess, man.
I'm with you on the Chaz thing, but he's got to be volunteering. Like, he's got to be a part of this, right? He's got to be a part of the pitching thing, right? Like, he's got to be saying, I can do it.
I mean, I can do it. If what you're asking
right.
is I,
three times every time, I would there's
no
got like if you were
there
to think
no
about on this team,
this guy
who are
had,
other
guy
guys that you would think
OPS.
Options.
This guy was hitting high 200. This guy was making season changing World Series game winning catches in the outfield 2 years ago.
Imprinted in
there's
the dirt.
No way in hell he's been reduced to. Yeah, man, it ain't no sweat off my back if Jacob Melton and Trammell and. All these guys are in the outfield, and hey, just save me if you need me in the 10th when you're getting the doors blown off of you. There's no way.
What I would say to that, I don't know how much he's a part of it. Tyler sent pudding
to the banana pudding to the Tigers.
No, you did.
To the Tigers.
This show is trying to do our job.
Too.
You did.
This show.
How do you know it got there?
Because he got
Dasher
on his app. It told him. The order
Shout
was
out
delivered.
Candace.
Oh, hell, you ain't tell me about this.
Yeah, well, it was very end of the show yesterday. I haven't seen you much today because I got
Text
in late.
Text line's coming in. Did Chaz get his play?
Somebody did.
I need to find out. I need somebody. Come on now. I need some back channeling. I bet you work for the other team, but come on
I bet
on
Miguel
now.
Cabrera went in there and got it. Stopped it.
Hey, it said it was delivered, Chief. It was delicious.
And I had the address and the point of drop-off for the visiting clubhouse up there in Detroit at Comerica Park. Oh, yeah.
Was there a note sent to it?
Yeah.
Said,
please deliver visiting clubhouse, Mr. Chaz McCormick. If you cannot locate him, please leave with someone on the staff.
Text line coming through. It's the only way he can get on the field, Ron. But that's where I agree with you here, Clint. Not only we didn't mean to get into Chaz, but we're already here. Oh. Let's get a text line. Stop it. You don't have to be so nasty right now. Nobody
it's
was
my
thinking
Friday,
it.
Baby. I'm
Nobody was thinking it. McCormick is a bench player who had a career year. He has now returned to his normal. Now that's the place where I draw the line.
Well, his normal is better than any of these guys that are playing in front of
him. But this is the part where if I am, when you say you feel sick for him, I don't mind doesn't start this year when they're running his ass out there to pitch. Mine starts with, we don't know what Chaz's normal is because they don't want us to see his normal. He is not everything that Clint read off about that, as this texter says, his career year. Usually, when you don't have a center fielder who has stepped up to take the job, and then that guy has a career year, and let's remember, the career year backed off of the career playoff season, right? That's not the same season. He played center field in the playoffs and played his ass off, where he had moments where he hit the ball out of the ballpark against the Yankees in the ALCS, where he had moments, or in the ALDS, where he had moments, whatever that series was against the Yankees. He had moments against the Phillies, and it was clear, all right, Dusty's running him out there every day. And then Clint, the next year, Jake Myers was out there.
Well,
while Megan Thee Stallion was throwing the first pitch in that all white.
Tight way.
Let's just all take a moment to just really reflect on that first pitch. Now, he was sitting on the bench, and Myers, who did nothing to deserve to have that spot, was the center fielder.
Khakis.
And they've never allowed him to build upon that next season.
Well, it's coming to a head, right? Like, because you can look at it now and go, hey, Jake Myers was one of their guys. They drafted him. That's their prospect. They saw it. The defense, all this. Okay. And it's come to fruition, and we can all look up and go, hey, okay, maybe it hits a little softer right now. But, Ron, I'm looking at this right now. As bad as you think Chaz McCormick is, right, he's hitting .225. Guess who he's ahead? Taylor Trammell, Jacob Melton, Cooper Hummel, Jesus Sanchez. All of these guys have gotten significantly more play than Chaz McCormick has. After your center fielder, who finally did something this year to make it make sense why they kept suppressing him and not giving him run, got hurt.
Yeah.
I mean, it's coming to a head now. And where I was going with the whole thing coming to a head is you finally give him a little bit of run last night, and it's against the best pitcher in baseball. And he gets 3 at-bats. Finally, you get to the pen, and they've got a right-hander up there, and you pull the guy out and let Jacob Melton – no, it wasn't. It was Trammell. But they literally pinch hit 3 lefties in a row.
Get the left-hander out.
For what? I mean, absolute joke. Anyway, the Chaz McCormick thing was just like, man, at least you could do is let him get some at-bats against somebody that's not Tariq Skubal, man. I mean, at least. And no, you can't even do that. Come on.
Listen, I'm not going to sit here and even argue that Chaz has been playing well.
You know what Jacob Melton's batting? By the way, your center fielder went off the wall.
It's clearly Jacob Melton.
It's Trammell too, but he goes off the wall and hurts his back, okay? You don't go to Chaz McCormick, the one that's literally got a play that's going to go down in history with the Astros. You go to Jacob Melton. You're trying to win a baseball game. You go to Jacob Melton, 176.
What'd you say?
176 right now.
Welcome
home. And by the way, he is on the verge of looking like early Jake Myers.
He
looks eerily similar to the first 3 years that we watched another Jacob on this team.
What'd you say, Clint? Here we go. Here, Scooples out there. Go.
Hey, man, let's get you some run, bud.
Hey, here's your shot. Here's your shot.
You're literally rolling a dude out there that's hitting 176 and looks completely lost at the plate.
I know you better get some of this Orioles action.
Shout out Independent.
Oh, and your thought is, well, it's a right-handed pitcher, so we're going to left-handed bats up there. Get that. I mean, that spot was terrible last night, late in innings, by the way. Terrible.
But by the way, the thing that has to piss him off, that what was that a couple of weeks ago? It feels like it was a couple of weeks. I feel like I've been going that long. But maybe it was last week where he hit that home run. And he had a pretty good game.
Hell yeah.
And they came out there, and we just knew for sure he was going to be out there.
It's unbelievable, man.
He was on the bench.
It's unbelievable, man.
I think he pitched.
Automatic.
I mean, what would he do? What would he do to have Dusty back in that damn?
Oh my God. He is dreaming for him. I think he calls Dusty. All right, coming up.
In fact, Dusty, can you call Chaz and keep his head above water?
Dusty, give him that good banana pudding. Send him the one that you know the kind he likes.
Dusty can walk up there and hand it to him. Tyler, your old Uber driver ain't getting it.
Tyler ain't never had more maroon money moment than that. Just threw that money down the drain. Damn.
17 bucks gone.
Just threw it down the drain. Jonathan Alexander, he said it, and Clint believes it's all his fault. Mm. We'll discuss that for real this time coming up next.